the Ground. I'm your host, Pat Gasol. This should be an interesting show, as this was an interesting week. I mean, politically, the craziness is getting crazier. I mean, we were supposed to have a debate. We didn't. I can say this without question. I don't like the debate committee. I mean, can you imagine? You have a guy like Stephen Scully, who's supposed to be, you know, going to do a good job. Last week, he says he got somebody hacked his Twitter account. This week, he admits he did it. I mean, what the hell is going on in America today? That's craziness. Then you look at Thursday night, we had two town halls. All I can say is one word: embarrassing. I mean, the whole thing is crazy. Then you have Nancy Pelosi coming out and saying her and the president haven't spoken for over a year. She confirms that. How can the Speaker of the House and the President of the United States not speak for a year? Ben Sasse in Nebraska, he just skewered the president. He's a senator from Nebraska. He's supposed to be a Republican. Today, the Trump strikes back. This is a hell of a week. But you know the best part about today? Early voting in Nevada starts today. And it was crazy out there. The lines were long. People voting, going crazy, all over Facebook. I voted. But more important, today on Common Ground, we're going to give out a $100 gift card to the funniest political joke. But there's one catch, and Dean is very clear about this. It has to be funny.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, we need to laugh. This is a great idea. This is one of the hardest weeks I have ever experienced in politics, and it sucked, Dean. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Pat, nobody call and say, oh, the joke is Biden or the joke is
Trump. No. We want a real joke. I want to laugh. We need laughter.
I don't even care if it comes from late night TV or one of the comedians, whatever. As long as it's funny, just let us know.
Yeah, we need some stress relief, man.
I know. Let's make everybody laugh. Listen, last week one of our callers called up and told a joke. I forget the name of the person. But it wasn't bad either. Yeah, it wasn't bad either. So I figured, hey, maybe everyone's got a joke. So, because there's so much to say, I almost have nothing to say. I can't believe it, but
Dean, you know, let me just sum up this week, okay? I'm going to give you two. I'm going to sum up Saturday for the whole week. So I had Kansas. I mean, excuse me, I lied. I had West Virginia minus 21.5.
Right.
They go up 38-20. No time, barely any time left, and Kansas returns the kickoff for a touchdown to lose 38-17.
Oh, boy.
I had Central Florida. With 3 minutes and change to go, I'm up 13. They lose outright. Needless to say, this is a lousy, crummy week.
Yeah. Well, you also, the Syracuse, right?
The Syracuse game, I didn't know DeVito wasn't going to start. I mean,
Culpepper
is not a good quarterback.
You know, I haven't really been following college football that closely. I didn't know Liberty was that good.
I don't think they're that good. I think Syracuse is that bad.
Syracuse hasn't really been that good in a long time.
But this kid DeVito's a decent quarterback. I mean, to be honest with you, they don't play defense anymore. We're not going to talk sports, but I got to tell you, this whole week was a major disappointment across the board. I mean, I don't know what to – you know what's funny? You and I have claimed on this show that the media – is definitely the problem in America, more so than I think even the politicians.
Oh, yeah. No
and this question. Week it was confirmed.
It's confirmed.
I mean,
the media, it causes all the problems on both sides. It's made everybody look. I know you filled in for Steve last night, right?
Yes, sir.
And I listened to it. It was a good show. And when you started the show, you made some complaints about Biden, and they were pretty. I don't want to say outlandish, but what's the right word that I'm looking for? They were pretty intense statements about Biden and his son, Hunter Biden.
Well, you know, it's funny.
Let me just finish for a second, because it's not the fact that you did that. It's just that what I realized was everybody, every Democrat would say the exact same thing about Trump. That's how far apart everybody is.
If this thing would have happened to Trump's, one of his kids, they would lynch his son on the spot. I mean, here's my problem.
There's plenty to go after.
Forget all that. Here's the deal. When you're going to do a town hall, ask questions, right?
Yeah.
First of all, the moderator's not supposed to be getting into it with the town hall speaker like, you know, Trump. She's supposed to get questions from the public and let him answer those questions. It's supposed to be a good meeting. Then on the ABC, they're pitching beach balls to Joe. Not once did they mention what happened with the New York Post article. And all he had to do is say, what about this? Joe said, no, I don't want to talk about it. That's fine. But they don't even ask the question.
I know.
ABC's credibility, Stephanopoulos is a putz.
Yeah.
And listen.
I have to agree with you.
You and I both talked about it.
They said, what do you think about this New York Post story? I mean, one way or the other, they haven't said anything.
Right.
So now, it's actually an interesting thing because, you know, the right is obviously saying it's a done deal and most of the press and the left
they don't want to talk about
anything.
It.
They haven't said anything about it. They don't know if it's credible or not.
But here's the thing. The FBI actually, it's funny.
Is trying to figure out whether it's credible.
The FBI actually has had this for like over a year.
Yeah.
And then of course two people linked to Biden's kid that are going to jail. They said, here, have access. Here's our passwords. Go on our internet accounts. That's neither here nor there. The bottom line is this. Your job in the news is to report the freaking news, not sit back and play games. I don't give a rat's ass. You know what? Truthfully, the one question that he clearly answered to Guthrie was, if we lose fair and square, no problem. I agree with that. And you and I also, earlier today, we were talking, and our conversation was, what happens if this is totally chaotic? What happens to the
scary.
People? I mean, there's militias out there on both sides.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen.
It's a little scary. You know, Trump has threatened, or I don't want to say, you know, he's threatened and said that if he loses, the election is rigged. He's come out and said, if I lose, it's because it's rigged.
And get this, Biden said the same thing this week. You know what?
Where did he say it?
I heard him say it this week. He said, if I lose, they had to cheat. I mean, be that it doesn't matter.
Right. So both
it's baloney.
Right. Both sides feel that if they lose, they got cheated.
But
there's no question about it.
But it gets down to brass tacks. Why can't they actually run? Like, you know what's interesting? You should have seen the lines of people looking to vote in person. Okay? And then when you hear about these stories about 47,000 ballots here, 1,900 ballots there. It's crazy, man. By the way, the phone number to the show, 702-257-5396, 702-257-5396. I'm frustrated because an election in the United States should never be questioned.
Right, and we're at a point where everyone's going to question it. It's not going to matter what happens.
Right.
It's going to be questioned, and it's too bad. I don't know how we got here, but we have.
Law enforcement's questionable. I mean, you realize what they're. The law enforcement. What's going on in our country? What's defund the police? I mean, this thing. We're living in a time warp, and honestly, there's a new movie out, Trump Card, by Dinesh D'Souza. I watched about 10 minutes of it.
Yeah.
I want to watch the whole thing. And it's interesting because we're living in a time warp where people really think socialism might be the answer. And I'm thinking to myself, what planet are you on? It doesn't work. Venezuela was killing it. And look at them now. I was interviewed. I'll be in the Las Vegas magazine in the next couple of weeks. And the one question that was posed to me, Dean, was, all right, Pat, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be? I said, let me think about that for a second. And I said, the United States of America. And I said it this way. There is no better place in the world. There's no safer place in the world that I'd want to live. There's no place that has what we have in the United States. Why would I want to leave this country ever? And that's my honest truth. I mean, and then, you know, you and I talk, and we're both talking about what could happen if this thing spins the wrong way.
Right. I don't know.
We're a third world country all of a sudden.
We will be. We'll be a third world country.
But, we got a joke, you know, by the way. We got three callers, by the way.
People don't want to be socialists. I mean, but I have a joke along those lines, if I can tell it.
Go ahead. No cussing, though.
What is the difference between capitalism and socialism?
Let me guess. Republicans and Democrats.
In a capitalist society, people exploit people. And in a socialist one, it's the other way around.
People exploit people. I like that. Hey, we got three callers. Let's go to the call. First caller up, JD, and he's got a joke. Hey, JD. I need a good laugh. Hi, JD.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. And I two brief subjects after the joke.
Go right ahead.
Why didn't the lawnmower win the election?
Why?
He was defeated by a grassroots campaign.
That's pretty good. That ain't bad.
That's all right.
That ain't bad.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
Okay. Okay. Two quick stories. In the RJ today, the Stephanopoulos ABC town hall, which was for an hour and a half, Trump's was for an hour. Obama speechwriter participated in the debate. He is now a Google employee. Nathan Osborne worked for the Obama administration, but was only identified in the television event as someone who works in communication. Mickey, a woman Heck identified by ABC News as a physical therapist, was described as a first-time voter. She was in her 30s, and her party affiliation wasn't noted. When she asked the question about what Trump would do to stop her 8-year-old girl from being transgendered, she is the wife of Erza Nanes, a Democrat who ran an unsuccessful campaign in 2018 against a Republican in Pennsylvania. That's that debate. Then
Savannah Guthrie with Donald Trump.
No, the other thing is Welker, Christine Welker, that's going to be doing the debate next week, the moderator from NBC.
Right.
She's like a third-rate reporter. She's not even a frontline White House reporter. She has donated $3,300 to the Biden campaign. She deleted her Twitter account because it had negative remarks against Trump. And
her mother and father
and herself were pictured in the White House with Obama taking a picture, and her mother and father made big contributions for the Obama Democratic campaign.
And that's really the problem with this committee that runs these debates. They're supposed to be unbiased. And your truth be told, and we all know Chris Wallace is not a Trumper, but of the people that they lined up, I would say Chris Wallace was the most professional news person out there.
Why couldn't they pick Brett Baer, who's a good newsman?
And Brett Baer is not necessary. Again, you don't want to give it all to Fox. My point, though, JD, what you're saying is my issue. I have an issue like Stephanopoulos. I mean, you know what? Here's the thing. When you do the news, and Dean and I have talked about this for months, do the freaking news. Let's talk about the topics of the day.
Facts.
Right, facts. Excuse me.
That you can back up.
But don't. You know, everything's. Good Morning America was my favorite show every morning before I go to work. Now I can't watch it. Now I'm watching 96, which is the Max show, whatever that, you know, that Newsmax, and then I watch Fox. And frankly, I really like the idea of ABC's entertainment angle. They talk sports. But now, it's ridiculous. And JD, it's frustrating for me. I've been watching ABC, Good Morning America, back to David, what's his name? I can't think of the guy's name. Way back then, back in the 70s. And I've been watching it for almost 50 years, and now can't watch it.
Take Savannah Guthrie. She debated President Trump for the first 20 minutes of only the hour that he had. And she kept over-talking him and interrupting him. And I think she showed her true colors. I wish he would have said to her, Savannah, I've interviewed with you before. I didn't come here to debate you. I came here to answer the people's questions. And she just took 20 minutes debating him. And her husband, by the way, Savannah Guthrie from NBC that did the town hall.
Right.
Her husband worked with Bill Clinton and Al Gore. In the
90s. JD, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So earlier in the day, Trump did a rally earlier on Thursday before the town hall, and he said, "I'm doing a town hall tonight." He announced he was doing a town hall. He said, "I know I'm being set up, but I'm doing it anyway."
Yep, he said that.
And so why would he say that? Why would he do it anyway? That's what I don't understand. He knew what was going to happen. He admitted it. He said it in a rally.
And he handled himself well, by the way.
And he used those words. He said, "I'm being set up, but I'm doing it anyway."
Well, you know why? In my opinion, because he thinks that he can handle every situation. He thinks he could out-debate everybody. He has an ego as big as the moon.
Right.
And he's unfortunately not as good a debater as he thinks he is. I just gave you what a layman's comeback. Somebody who's not a college-educated guy would have told that newscaster, "Hey, this is a town hall for the people, the American citizens, to ask me a question, not to debate you for 20 minutes of the hour."
JD, as always, thank you for the call. We'll see what happens with that joke. You know, here's the thing, Dean, and for that night, She had 74 questions, and the town hall people had 10, and that's frustrating to me. But you know what? There was a point you both brought out, which was true. And I thought Donald Trump really needs – this is why he's in the position he's in. He's in a turnkey situation. He should be winning this thing real easy, and it's his personality that nobody likes. And he's the reason he's in the jackpot is because he pisses everybody off.
He does. He pisses
everybody
off.
That's his problem. Hey, the number here is 257-5396, 257-5396. We go to Kirk. He has a joke. Hey, Kirk, thanks for calling.
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
Really good.
Good to see you, Kirk.
Great. So I was out on the Trump campaign trail this morning knocking some doors for Trump, and this guy, we show up to the door, dogs barking like crazy, like just won't quit. He comes to the door, he sees who we are, silences his dog, he goes, "I'm really sorry, guys. The dog must have thought you guys were Democrats."
Okay. All right. That was good. It's a good try.
Okay.
You made Dean laugh. Dean's laughing. He did good.
All righty.
Thank you, Kirk. You're a gentleman,
thank
sir.
You. All righty. Thank you.
702-257-5396. We got Steve. He wants to talk about the polls, saying how accurate they really are. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Steve. Good evening, I should say.
Thank you. And I just want to say I listen every week. You guys have a great show.
Well,
here's something. In the Department of, I guess, DDD, Democrat Distorted Deceptive Statistics, and also Republican, too, Pat and Dean, not once in my life at 68 years old, I've been following politics, do you ever see that, okay, we polled 1,000 people. Well, what if they polled 800 Democrats and 200 Republicans? They say the Republicans are way behind. They never, ever reveal the percentage, the proportion of Democrats versus Republicans.
Right. They say it's random. It's supposedly random.
50-50, right?
It's never 50-50, but... Yeah. You know
to
say apart.
It's a meaningless poll, Dean, because if you take 800 Democrats and 200 Republicans and you say Biden's winning by 58%, what meaning does that have? Because most Democrats are going to say they're going to vote for the Democrat, right?
I would agree.
There is the fairness in the polls. There is none. As far as I'm concerned, you can throw them out the window. And last year's election proved that pretty good, didn't it?
Well, right. Let me say this to both of you, and this is interesting. You might like it.
Okay.
This morning, I was totally depressed as I pulled up statistics. I pulled up the betting, and right now...
The betting line.
The betting line for Biden is minus 225.
I wanted to know the odds.
And you could lay 100 to 175 on Trump. Right, so that got me all down in the dumps, and then I looked and pulled up a poll, one of these polls where they have each state, and I looked at this and I'm like, if this is the case, it's a landslide for Biden. But then I looked at the certain states and I called Dean. I said, there's no way 28 states right now could be determined for Biden and 22 for Trump. But I'll go a step further because Dean and I like to bet, and we're contrarians. We bet against the public when we can.
Okay.
So I thought about this. I'm like, if the public is on Biden, we might win some money betting on Trump. That's
really?
And that's my joke of the day. I mean,
2016, it was the same thing. Trump was a dog.
But he's a bigger dog. He was just a few weeks ago. He was plus 105. Now he's plus 175.
Right. He went as high as plus 200. Could have gotten 2-1 on him.
Well, he was 8-1 in the last election. He dropped down from 10-1 to 8-1. I think just before the election. Do you remember that?
But he ended up. I think he paid like $1.80. Last time around.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. But if you got in before the primary started or during the primary,
you could have made a killing.
A huge number on him.
But
last
do you guys realize that, though? There is no honesty in the polls because the proportion should be equal. And
even the pollsters aren't sure. Listen, we live in a different time with where everybody's got a cell phone now. You know, people aren't answering their landlines. And, you know, the people that do answer the landlines, who answer? If they're calling landlines, who are they getting? You know, and if they're calling cell phones, who are they getting? You know, it's a different era.
Right. Dean, I just reject the fact, and I don't accept the fact, that they never, ever reveal what proportion. Good joke. It'll be a fast one. Listen to this. Dean said, I think it was a Pat, you said you were depressed this morning. I was so depressed, but in great Rodney Dangerfield style. He goes, I was so depressed, I called the suicide hotline. They put me on hold.
You know what? Right now, I feel like we need a Rodney Dangerfield with this political avenue.
That's where we're at right now. That's where the United States is at.
Stevie.
You guys are contrarians. I bet on Japan in World War II. That was a big bet I lost.
Now, that one there, you know what's funny? When we went to that war, the Americans weren't the most powerful army in the world.
Yeah.
We came out of there the most powerful, so you might have won. Steve, thank you for the call, and God bless you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Steve.
We got another call. We got Frank. And I know this guy. This is a good guy. I love Frankie. Frank, how you doing? Welcome back, my friend.
Yes, I just wanted to. I'm sorry, I lost all respect, and I respected the heck out of Chris Wallace's father. But when Ron Paul was running for president and finished a very close second, and there was Chris Wallace, like all the rest of the other alleged anchors and color, whatever they called it, they had nothing. They exposed that they weren't news when they just completely ignored Ron Paul and The Daily Show, Jon Stewart. He made a fortune. That whole campaign, and here he is, a big lefty, pointing out that how are they ignoring Ron? They just ignored Ron Paul, who finished, who almost won the Iowa caucuses.
You know what, Frank?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pat.
I'm going to share both of you. I was at the Trump Hotel. Thursday night. I went to the Trump Hotel. I was with the RNC people. And a friend of mine, Jesse, who was a very big Pauler back in the day, and you know, Nevada really was embarrassed because the Paulers almost took over the RNC convention. Well, at this point, I said to him the other night, you know what? I now understand the Paulers. I get it. But when I look at what's going on in the news media and in politics today, I now know why Ron Paul was a breath of fresh air to most of you people. And he gave me a high five. He goes, now you understand. And there's no transparency anymore.
Oh, Pat, the beauty to Ron Paul was he didn't have to spend a penny. He was a solid libertarian. All the candidates in his district, he was an automatic given, just like a Piglowski. You know, says any Democrat running, that's an automatic D. It's a no brainer, which is an insult to the integrity that how flawed our system is now, or how corrupt it is. But the other thing, last week, one of my favorite shows, one of the last, and I noticed over the years, I would catch these complete left slants on the CBS Sunday Morning Show, that Charles Kuralt did, and a few.
Oh, I used to love that show, by the way.
It was something I looked forward to, and while I was waiting to see the judge in court last Monday, one of the guys on the radio circuit talk shows said exactly it was an entire hour and a half of a slam on Trump. And I remember I've got a devout Catholic friend, graduated from Notre Dame, high accolades. He's an electrical engineer now. And 20 years ago, he said, Frank, I'm done with 60 Minutes, and 60 Minutes was taking shots at the Catholic Church. And then 60 Minutes got caught totally doing a slam on Aladar. They fudged the figures. Dateline got caught orchestrating the car accidents with not Jane Pauley, but the other cutie female. They orchestrated this stuff, and it's like I don't even want to turn the TV on anymore. It is just so Marxist, and they're condescending about it. If you don't think the way you are, you're there's something wrong with you. And that was.
So you don't think that the Republican-based media does the same thing?
There's only a few. I mean, we've got Tucker.
What he's saying is it's Hannity, all news Rush. He's talking about.
Do the exact same thing?
No, but he's saying all news is the same way.
It's the left-leaning news. It's not the right also. You believe everything that comes out of Hannity's mouth?
I mean, Hannity was a... to me, he was a puppet of the. He came back to conservative. It was nice to see him come back to the real world. But I just want to say, I knew Fox was in trouble when the old man died because the two sons were huge Marxists. And the first thing that one of the best pages you could read was the Wall Street editorial. And that thing is practically garbage.
Starved. I love you. I got to go to a break. Truth. We'll catch you later, Frank. We'll be right back. This is Common Ground. We'll catch you in a minute.
I'm Matt Damon.
I'm Zachary Levi.
I'm Uzo Aduba.
Join Major League Baseball and Stand Up to Cancer as we stand in honor of all loved ones affected by this disease.
Visit standuptocancer.org/MLB.
Stand up with us.
Ash, what about those insurance ads with catchy jingles?
And the lawyer commercials.
The jingles might get stuck in your head, but they're designed to do one thing, distract you.
Distract you from hiring the right professional team to represent you.
Choose reputation over shtick.
Sam and I are real personal injury attorneys who focus on you and your recovery.
Call us anytime, 702-820-1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Due to the sudden downturn of the U.S. economy, there's never been a better time to check your eligibility for the Fresh Start programs offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your IRS tax problems. Call our special hotline number and find out in minutes if you qualify for these life-changing debt reduction programs green-lighted by the IRS for 2020, business or personal. If you're in a payment plan with no end in sight, have unfiled tax returns, under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or finally just want to know your options, call the experts at Republic Tax Relief and stop collections immediately. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau with a 5-star rating from Yelp, this veteran-owned company has the fight you need to take on the IRS. Don't go it alone. Call their hotline number now, 800-509-3124. That's 800-509-3124. Check your eligibility for tax debt savings today. Call 800-509-3124 or go to republictaxrelief.com.
According to the Social Security Administration, there are over 9,000 combinations for how you can take Social Security. Choose wrong and you could leave thousands on the table. Hi, I'm Ken Murray, founder of Retirement Planners of America. Social Security can be very complex. You can receive a free Social Security consultation. We'll help you choose the option and build a plan to help your money last as long as you do.
Call for your free consultation now. 800-375-1159. 800-375-1159.
Back to work at that J-O-B, the one you realized isn't for you? Well, that's if you're lucky, right? Make your move. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Segment number two of the day, Common Ground. The funniest political joke gets a $100 gift card. The only difference, it's got to be funny. It has to make us laugh. You could pick it up. You could give us a joke that you heard on television, whatever. But if you give us a funny joke, we're going to give you a $100 gift card. The phone number is 702-257-5396, 257-5396. You know, Dean, every now and then I like to watch Bill Maher. Last night, if I could have, I'd drive to California and I would have kicked his ass up and down the street because, you know, he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God.
Right.
And when he was talking about Amy Coney Barrett, the way he spoke about her, totally and absolutely pissed me off. It was
I
like,
didn't watch it, so I have no idea.
The ending, you know how he does his monologue at the end, essentially saying how dangerous of a person she is, and because she believes in the Bible, he made fun of the Bible, and that's the kind of stuff that turns my skin where I want to, like, that's where I want to just take, I want to just take a chainsaw to the guy because it's stupid.
Well,
there's
no reason for it. If you're going to agree with free speech, you can't.
No, I understand.
It's right to say it.
But wait, you know what? We lack common sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, we lack common sense, but that's been gone for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you may have a point there. You know, Denise is going, I think so.
He hasn't had any common sense in a long time. In 4 years, he hasn't had common sense when it comes to that stuff. He says whatever he wants.
That's
what his biggest problem is. He has no filter. Most people can you know, keep what they're thinking in their head if they need to. He can't.
But he's not as funny as he thinks. Here's one for you. How about the big spin this week with regard to the Biden tapes? Not about the tapes, but specifically about how social media, that being Facebook and Twitter, both shutting down the New York Post access to publish their stories. As far and I mean, just shutting down the press secretary for the president. I mean, how is that possible?
Well, look, here's my take on that, and it's a take I've heard over the last few days too. But if you have unregulated free enterprise, right, which allows those enterprises to make their own rules, right? I mean, that's Republican philosophy all the way.
Hey, I got a joke for you.
Very important Republican philosophy, except when used against Republicans. I mean, it's just you either have unfettered free enterprise or you don't. You know, if you want unregulated enterprise, you want unregulated enterprise. If you don't, if you start regulating, then what do you become? Well, the Democrats want more regulation, you know. So where do you draw the line? Some things have to be regulated. There's no question, but where do you draw the line?
I got a joke texted me just now.
Okay.
Okay. Her name is Michelle, and she says, "Listen, everybody tries to give Joe Biden a hard time over the fact that he's been in politics for the last 47 years. What has he done?" She says, "Well, he created one good job. Hunter's got work." That's pretty funny. That's pretty damn funny.
Okay,
that was texted to me by Michelle. I think that was pretty good.
Okay.
We have Ron the Patriot on, and this is a guy. This is another guy I haven't heard from in a long time. Ron, I miss you, guy. How you doing?
Oh, I'm on. Thank you very much. I'm fine. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Nice to hear your voice again.
It's good. Yeah, I've been listening to you guys every night. You know, I've been checking you out. You know, and getting all the different opinions and all that stuff, and trying to figure out who's who's and who.
and you usually got a good sense of humor. So give us a good joke here.
Okay. Years ago, about 50 years ago, I met a politician who was the number one man in Pennsylvania. He ran the state legislature. He was the number one man. 38 years he ran the state legislature. Well, I did him a favor. And I asked him after I was all done, I says, "Mr. Frank," his name was Samuel Frank. I says, "Mr. Frank, can I ask you a question? Why do people become politicians?" And he looked at me and he says, "Well, son, they become politicians because nobody else will hire them."
That's pretty good, Ron. That's very good.
That's
it's kind of true.
Mr. Samuel Frank, and he was like about 79, 80 years old when he told me that. And you know what? I'm 75 years old.
You're all right, buddy. You've been around a long time.
Ain't that a trip? I almost fell off my shoes when he said that to me because nobody else will hire him. Oh, my God, you know.
That's funny.
A politician all his life. Mr. Samuel Frank. So thank you, Mr. Frank, and thank you, guys.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
That was pretty good.
So do you think lawn signs are a better indicator than polls?
No. I think a lot of people won't put up lawn signs. That was a good conversation we had last weekend. A lot of people are afraid to put up signs on their
no
front
question.
Lawns. They're
a lot
egged.
Of people are. But a lot of people aren't. But people do, though.
Yeah, I would agree. We got another caller.
Okay.
We got Brian. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show. How are you? Hello, Brian.
Brian.
Hey, guys. Sorry.
You're good. How's it going?
You want a Bill Clinton joke or you want a congressman joke?
Whatever joke you want. You give us two. We need to laugh. This has been a hard week.
Okay. A guy came up to a guy in a suit and pulled out a gun. He said, "Give me your money." And the guy turned around and looked at him. He says, "Don't you know I'm a congressman?" He says, "Oh, sorry. Give me my money."
There you go.
That's good. That's good. You have another one, too, about Clinton?
Yeah. Bill Clinton. Why does Bill Clinton wear boxer shorts?
Why?
Keep his ankles warm.
That was very good. That was good. Brian, there were two good jokes, man.
You could say that about Trump, too. You could probably make that joke about a lot of presidents.
Well, actually, yeah, probably around the world, a lot of world leaders. Brian, that was really good. Right. Anything else?
I got one more Bill Clinton joke.
All right.
What does Bill say to Hillary after sex?
I have no idea.
Honey, I'll be home in 20 minutes.
You're very good, Brian. That was good. Make sure that we have your information.
Right.
Thank
okay,
you, Brian.
Put me back on hold, man.
Put on. So the number here is 257-5396. At least we're laughing.
Yeah, I know. People are
But you know,
everybody loves a good joke.
But when we look at all what's going on, I mean, yeah. I got to tell you, it's scary.
I know, we're all scared.
You asked about the signs. I got to tell you something on Facebook. I think you can tell more on Facebook by the posts. People are more open on Facebook because you can't damage their homes or scratch their car. I remember I had in my car make a MAGA hat, and they scratched my brand new truck at the time back in 2016. And I got to sit here and tell you, I will not put anything in my car now because I don't want to get it scratched or whatever. I mean, people are dumbasses and all, and it's nuts. But again, we are living in a time that is so polarized, and it's different. This is not the country we grew up in. I mean, I can't think of Sinatra having high hopes with John F. Kennedy singing that song today. I mean, I don't see it.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, and I'll tell you the other thing, and this is both sides. How deep is this friggin' swamp?
I don't know.
These politicians have been in office for so damn long. You got to wonder. Like, my biggest thing about Biden last night, and I after talking about all the money, here's a man who's been in politics for 47 years. His wife's a school teacher. How do you have all this money?
Well, you could say, you know,
I'm using him for an example right now.
Yeah, I know. Mitch McConnell's the same thing. How does he have so much money?
Right.
You know, they all do it.
It's a career job. You got to tell your kids to become politicians.
Yeah, I know. If they can do it, if they can, you know, look, I don't know if you can
make the laws, senator, make the money.
And if you can make the money, look, but to go back to what you know, you were talking at the beginning of this segment about Bill Maher and the
religious, is a religious,
right? So
opinion.
I didn't hear his you know,
I listened to it last night, my skin crawled.
Yeah, so listen, the thing is like what you're trying to say, I think, or what Bill Maher was trying to say. And I didn't hear it, so I don't know this for sure, is she's not a dangerous person. She's going to be a dangerous justice, in his opinion. You know, that's two different things. And you have to be, you know, you have to, people aren't aware of that. They get, you know, like you're saying you wanted to go punch him in the gut. And
he's talking about religion. He's talking about, I wasn't about her. I wasn't looking to, I didn't want to kick his ass over her. I wanted to kick his ass over God and the religious slurs and the slamming the Bible. It was a combination. I mean, to me, that's ridiculous. You know, I mean, I don't know. Satan.
I know Bill Maher can be pretty edgy, especially about that kind of stuff. But it's, you know, why does he have to
like the Mets?
What?
Why does he have to be a Met fan of all? I think he's probably maybe he's got a piece of the ownership. I don't know.
I don't know. He's kind of a weird guy. He's funny sometimes, but he's definitely a weird guy. He's always been a weird guy.
Whew.
And at least he's portrayed that way. I don't know him, of course, but. But he's portrayed as a pretty weird guy in the media. Whenever the media, you know, talks about him or shows him, or you know, in the
he makes fat bastard Michael Moore look decent when he's talking.
Well, I don't know why. What's your objection to Michael Moore? Is just
no. No. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute, Michael. Because he's sloppy looking is what I'm talking about. But you want to know what? Michael Moore is consistent. Michael Moore speaks his piece. I don't have any problem with him speaking his piece. He doesn't have to like Trump. He doesn't have to like the Republicans. He could be a total socialist. He's a Bernie guy. I'm good with that. I'm totally good with that. I don't have an issue. But what I can sit here and tell you is that when I listen to Bill Maher, I mean, yeah, him and Trump hate each other. I mean, it's a well-known fact that they're not friends.
Right.
And they never will be.
Right.
You know, I got to tell you, I mean, he is what he is. He does his thing. I mean, I'm not a fan, but at the same time, Michael Moore is also realistic. He's been telling everybody, do not underestimate this election. You need to vote. Right. But I also think when I hear these stories about your votes being suppressed, I laugh. I'm like, really? How are they suppressed? Why don't you just get out there and make sure your vote counts? You know, a lot of people, like you said earlier in the conversation today, that a lot of people aren't trusting the mail-in ballots.
The ballots, period.
Right. But if you go in person, it's you're not going to get kicked out.
Right.
And you know what? Wait on the line. If you could go supermarket and stand on lines and wear a mask, and some of those lines are long, you could go, but you can vote. And you know what? You're outside. It's not bad. The weather's good right now. The weather's great in Las Vegas.
But that's the other question is, why is anybody in this whole country have to wait? It's such a joke that you have to wait.
Well, I'm voting. I would have voted this morning if I hadn't have a 10 o'clock appointment.
Vote too, but I'm going to make sure I vote.
Hell yeah, man.
I'm vote. But why does anybody in this country need to wait to vote? I don't understand that. It just shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a problem. It should be. We should have figured that out.
How many people read the book they get regarding the different bills and all the different people? For example,
convinced me to do that, and I
read them all. I'm voting on all of them, but I'll tell you what's interesting, right? The judges. There's about 100 different judges.
I know.
And there's only about 40 of them have a running against somebody. And here's the thing. It really is personal preference. How are you going to look up details on the judges?
You can't. It is a bad system. I mean, you don't know if there's a good judge or a bad judge. Last time I went to the polls, there was judges outside the polls trying to convince people to vote for them. So I didn't. I'm like, they're talking to me, and I don't know what to say. So I'm like, well, do you accept bribes?
You know? That's funny. I know five judges personally.
If you do, I'm not voting for you. You know, like what? I don't even know what to say.
I actually know five judges personally reasonably well that I like. And I'm not giving out their names. I won't do that on any show because it wouldn't be fair because I don't know who they're running against because I know I'm voting for them automatically, right?
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I mean, I know them. There's one specific judge I thought was outstanding. I knew him before, and then I actually sat in a court with him. I was going to be a juror. But I had to go back to D.C. regarding lobbying for health care, and he gave me he excused me. Total gentleman. I really like him. And the guy's a workaholic. I mean, I was up in Dyer, Nevada. If you don't know where Dyer, Nevada is.
I have no idea.
You'll get lost finding it. There's only like eight people living in Dyer. Like, if you run out of gas in Dyer, you're screwed. So we go all the way up there, and we gave him the wrong place to go, and he went to Tonopah. He was 90 minutes late, and he got there. And, I mean, I was impressed with that. The guy is really a good dude, honest to God. There's some great women running for judges. There's one person I'm going to mention. I know her. God bless her. And I mean, I know her as a great lady. She works in the court. She's worked with the children court. Her name is Mary Perry. Great lady. Mary is recovered from breast cancer. I mean, she's just a great human being. I mean, again, I like her. I know her politics is not one-sided. She just does a good job. She's on there. But I think I don't even think she's running against anybody, but I would vote for her anyway. But then that wasn't one of the five. That was just, she's just a great human being. I've interviewed her on the radio before. She's just a nice person.
Okay.
And, you know, and that's really what you want. I mean, I don't know if you remember Judge Seymour Brown? That was here in town. This guy, we could have done.
I don't know any judges.
Well,
I don't know.
This
any
goes back when I first moved here. This guy was the hardest ass judge on the bench, and he wasn't even a lawyer, but he became a judge. And this was the guy that you went in front of
for judge without being an attorney.
I guess this guy was not an attorney. I think he was in law enforcement somehow. Judge Seymour Brown. If you went in front of him and you did something stupid to a cop, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
if you had faced him a second or third time for the same offense, oh, you were going to get your butt whipped. He was the lawnmower. You were the grass. You got mowed.
Right.
I mean, so I went in front of him one time, and I'm hearing all the – I'm sitting there just listening to this. I'm thinking, why didn't I bring a tape recorder? This could have been like a Larry David segment. I mean, it was really that funny. I mean, the stories these people were throwing out at him were hilarious. And you know, he's looking at him. He goes, are you done? 90 days in jail or $1,000. I mean, just it was amazing. He was outstanding. But you know what? He was an old-time judge.
Right.
You broke the law your first time. All right, it's slap on the wrist. If I see you again, you're not going to want to see me again. Trust me.
Right.
And he basically let you know
like that.
But
I just, you know, hopefully, you know, the goal is not to go in front of a judge. So, you know.
Hey, listen, how about Las Vegas being the first place I've ever lived where you get a speeding ticket and you can get it turned into a parking ticket by going to a judge?
Right.
Now, in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut, that didn't happen.
Call one of these numbers. Call 1-800-SPEEDING-TICKET or whatever.
Fixed ticket.
They fixed it for you. Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievable. That never happened back east. Hey, by the way, the number here is 257-5396.
Where are we on the joke?
We have another joke here coming up in a second.
All right.
But if you have we're looking for the funniest political joke. We're going to give you a $100 gift card. It's just got to make us laugh. It's got to be really funny.
Who's on my list? Who's on yours and Denise's list?
I'm going to let you. If you and Denise come up with the same person, I'll agree.
All right. Well, we'll do. All right, let's go to the next call.
Steve, go ahead. Shoot us another one, buddy.
Okay, Pat, I got two for you, two quickies. First of all, what's the difference, guys, between an old-style vacuum cleaner and a politician?
What?
The difference is, at least on the vacuum cleaner, the dirt bag serves a useful purpose.
That's pretty good. I like that one.
I got a second one for you. Okay, this is about Las Vegas dating tips, of which I'm no expert. But listen, for all the single young ladies out there, I got four good tips, tried and tested over time. Actually, five, okay? Tip number one, she must meet a man that has a good job, makes good money, financially secure, and he helps her around the house. Tip number two, must be a good lover, keep her happy, keep her satisfied, but make her happy emotionally, too, and sometimes make her laugh. Tip number three, he must not lie to her and must not cheat on her. He must keep his word. Very important. And tip number four, he must love her and spoil her. And tip number five, guys, most important of all, make sure these four men never meet each other.
Steve, make sure you give her your information. We appreciate you very much.
All right.
Okay, I shouldn't give up my day job, but I'm trying, Pat.
And hey, you know, you're doing good. You never know. Dean and I may want to get into the business. Once the casinos open up, maybe we'll get
Steve,
you some work.
You called and told the Rodney joke earlier, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's still one of my favorites.
I am officially crowning Denise, delightful Denise, and dynamic. She's very nice.
All right. She's a doll.
Denise, she's the best.
702-257-5396. You know, it's just that at this point in time, like last night I was really pissed because of Thursday, and I had a bad Friday. I just had a bad day.
Right.
And the show last night, my energy was, I mean, the passion was there. And pretty much like tonight, the phone just kept ringing. But what gets me is I just want people to be fair. Do your job. You know, like when you and I talked about the debate, and I will say this officially, I was pissed off at the president because I thought he got a chance to murder this guy, and I even told you that.
Right.
Right? I mean, I wasn't being biased. I'm like, he had every opportunity. I was actually a host of an event, and I thought to myself, oh, my God, I wish I wasn't there. I will never go to another live event. I'd rather do it from my house.
Yeah.
So this way I can throw things and curse and get mad. Because that's it was frustrating. I mean, then watching this past week's affairs, it's crazy. And you know the other thing, and I never liked Obama.
Right.
But I would never root against Obama in the country. I didn't want him to die. None of that stuff.
Right.
Okay? I never did.
I know Republicans that did though.
Well, they're morons. I mean, I gotta be honest with you. You're the president of the United States. I don't give a rat's ass what your party affiliation is.
Right.
You represent this country. We're hoping that we win as a nation. This is about America. Okay? We're supposed to be the country that of dreams, where dreams are made of and fulfilled, not the country of buttholes. And there's a lot of them out there. Speaking of buttholes, my brother-in-law in Texas,
yeah,
he carved out. He's not a butthole. He's a good guy. He carved a pumpkin.
Yeah.
Okay. He made an anus, and he has two hands on each side spreading. It looks fantastic. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Only in America. I mean, well, but you have to know my brother-in-law Skip. Now, here's the funny part: when my wife and her sisters and my cousins were asked who did this, the consensus was Dalton, his son. They were all shocked it was the dad. So, I mean, it goes to show you. I mean, you never know. My wife likes to call her nephew a butthole, but you know, using the other word, the arse word.
Right.
And the reason is because every time she flies down to Texas, he never has time to see her. So she just, you know, she razzes him. So,
yeah.
You know, when you have five sisters, you know, my poor father-in-law, can you imagine five girls and a wife? Wow. And a female dog. That man was ruined. No wonder he played golf. And he worked in an old dairy. Oh, my God. What was the name of that company?
What?
Borden's. He was a Borden's guy. He had his own route for years.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he's going to be 80 years old soon. And this is the first time I've seen him where he doesn't look quite as strappy.
You going back to the days where they delivered milk?
He delivered milk up to about 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And, he's done very well for himself, too.
On the porch.
Pardon me? Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, that was something, man. No, it doesn't stop happening.
Hey, how about this? It's funny because if you ever watch Mean Streets.
Yeah.
They're walking down in Manhattan, and the bread gets delivered. It's my uncle's plate. He grabs a loaf of bread. They start eating it. I remember doing that as a kid. Or if we would go, my buddy Gary up the street, we'd go down to Frank's Deli, right? And we go buy fresh loaf of bread. By the time we got to his house, we ate half of it. I got one end. He got his parents got the middle. We got the ends. I mean, those were the good days, man.
Well, yeah, that when kids could go out and play by themselves and do stuff, right?
You know, it's funny you say that. I mean, that's the problem with America today. And when you look at what's going on with COVID, kids not being able to be kids. Your youngest is, what, 13 or 14?
14, yeah.
Losing that year, you'll never get it back. Yeah. They're the greatest years of your lives, man.
Yeah.
I mean, how about kids in their first year of college? It's Zoom.
Right.
And then you hear kids
who were seniors last year and missed the whole end of their senior year. That's like the best year you can have.
Right.
Between senior skip day and senior prom and graduation.
Right.
And
there was no prom this year.
They were taken. It was all taken away from them.
How about this one? How about you're an athlete. And this you have a chance to blossom into a scholarship. Now you're not going to get anything.
Yeah. Well, the kids will get stuff. It's just I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. Kids that didn't get to play their senior year. I have no idea.
I had a couple of kids that I coached. There's three. Yeah. Three of them. Bryce,
we got to get to our jokes here because there's only a couple minutes left.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll go through the jokes right now. Which jokes do you like the best?
Well, I like Steve. I like the Rodney joke. Steve called with a few jokes, so the Rodney joke was one of my favorites. The guy who called with the Clinton jokes, but it was really the congressman joke that I thought was really funny. Or give me my money. That was really funny.
Now, and Denise agrees with you, so that's the winner.
And then Michelle. I like Michelle's joke too.
Okay, so now which Denise? You're going to be the determining factor.
Well, who do you? What's your? Do you have?
I can't. I know Michelle because she texted me. So if I pick her, it looks like a fix.
All right.
So I'll let Denise pick, and
I'm
good with it.
Denise can pick. If she agrees with any of those, then that'll be the winner.
Denise, she's good with it. So now let me go back to the baseball players.
Wait, she's good with what?
She's good with pick. She'll give you. She's looking at it. She's going to give you before we sign off. We have a minute or two.
Okay.
She'll give you an answer.
All right.
So I got three kids this year. One's got a chance to get drafted. He's in JUCO. Actually, four. One kid at Wazoo would have got drafted this year. As a pitcher.
Right.
The kid at Colorado Mesa had a great year last year, and this would have been a year he gets drafted. He's got to go back for another year. So does the kid at Washington State. The other two kids were seniors in college that lost the senior year. They weren't going to be pro ball players. They're in a smaller schools, Division III. Frankie was about to set every school offensive hitting record, hits and RBIs, and Bryce was going to set every record at his school as well. Both kids I coached for 4 to 5 years minimum, and I had Bryce forever. And the sad part is they lost those senior years. Two of them are not going back to school.
Right. So are they going to get drafted?
No. One's going to be getting – they're both actually working for the rent-a-car company, the green one. I can't think of the name of it now. There's the big one. But they're getting the budget. No, which one? Enterprise. That's Enterprise, the one. Yeah. They got a job with Enterprise. So, again, they're on their way. And that's the best part about coaching and knowing all these kids for as many years as I did. So, Denise, who's the winner? Brian's give me my money one. The politics, I like that.
All right, my wife wants that one too. She just told me.
So we'll give him a call and he can come meet me at my office. We have a gift card.
What's his name, Brian? Hey, everybody had funny jokes though. I liked all of them. That was
it broke up the monotony.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if you're watching this Alabama-Georgia game. But it looks like a real barn burner. It's 24-17.
Yeah, I actually have it on. But hey, have Brian call Denise and get his information, and we'll get that to him.
She's got it. We got 1 minute.
Okay.
So
it's the end of the – they're going to – looks like Alabama's going to kick a field goal.
It's a 52-yarder. A lot of these teams trying to kick field goals didn't work out too good today.
Yeah.
But, as we wrap up the show, this was fun. I mean, we lightened the burden.
Right.
We took the weight off the shoulders. I don't need my chiropractor tomorrow. I had him today. It was good enough.
All right.
Dean, you have a good week. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Bye.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there, thank you for listening today, and thank you for last night. I really appreciate you guys. We're here every Saturday from 6 to 7. It's Common Ground. God bless you all.